on the Calgary Almanac on CJSW 90.9 FM. As mentioned at the start of the hour, it's election season here in Alberta, provincial election. Talk of the town is the big choice between Rachel Notley and Danielle Smith and the UCP. And joining me now to chat about a feature piece written in this Alberta Views magazine on the big choice, I have Lisa Young, professor of political science here at the University of Calgary. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us here. It's popcorn season in the poli-sci department, is it not?
Yeah, this is an election that is really not like any other one we've had in my time in Alberta. Well, I think in a long time in Alberta. It's such a competitive election, and here we are, yeah, you know, less than a week away, and no clue what's going to happen.
This is maybe the year where the textbooks become obsolete a little sooner than usual, or you have to throw all the past case studies out the window. Well, you've written a very good piece here explaining, kind of giving a high-level 50,000-foot breakdown of the choice between these two parties. I guess before we dive into the nitty-gritty of it all, how would you sort of, I guess, just like summarize what this choice looks like in this election, that this one that is, as you say, so close and so competitive?
Sure. So what the folks at Alberta Views asked me to do, and this was way back last winter, was to get at the essence of these two parties that were going to go head to head in this election. And so this meant that I wrote something that wasn't looking at the day to day on the campaign trail, and it wasn't looking at the party leaders. So it wasn't saying, oh, you know, what did Rachel Notley say? What, you know, what has Danielle Smith said before she went into politics? It was really looking at the parties and the things that are in there, have been in their platforms in the past, and it's been a long election. So what I did was I looked at all of the things that the parties were talking about and what they had done when they were in government, and I came up with a list of what I thought was a fair description of the values that really animated the two parties. So for the UCP, the four that really came to the surface for me were, first of all, a deep commitment to freedom. If we look at the party's founding documents, it talks about economic freedom, freedom of speech, that word of, you know, that notion of freedom was really foundational. And of course, with Danielle Smith taking over the leadership and her support from the Freedom Convoy, freedom became that much more important to how the party approaches public policy issues, how it sees itself. There's certainly a preference for private organization of the delivery of government services over public public delivery. There's a deep commitment to the oil and gas industry. And there's also this idea that I call Albertanism, and that is the idea that Alberta will deliver something better than the federal government will, that there's sort of a natural superiority almost to Alberta. And so then I contrast the NDP. Instead of freedom, I talk about pragmatism for the Alberta NDP. They're not a socialist party, in my view. They're very much in the center. They're about delivering government services, but not necessarily in as ideological a way as the UCP with their commitment to freedom. They have a preference for public delivery of services rather than private sector. They're committed to oil and gas, but there's more room for renewables and the energy transition in their platform. And they've got a commitment to diversity and inclusion that we don't see from the UCP. So that's my sort of 50,000-foot view of the values of these two parties.
And I guess if you were to, so you said this was months ago, and if you were to have written it last week or like last night, maybe before the interview, how would you put it across right now, the decision before Albertans?
You know, it's a really good question, because I think in a lot of ways, what we've seen in some of the announcements and some of the positioning of the parties has been a bit of a shift. And I think that's more so in the case of the UCP than the NDP. The UCP's commitment to freedom and private sector involvement in the delivery of public services, I think, has been muted in some ways in the campaign. We've seen them shift their policy stance in many respects toward the center. They're talking about increased funding for, for healthcare, for education. But those fundamental values, I think, are still there underlying this. They're just being de-emphasized in the campaign, because that's not where those key voters that they're looking for are located.
Mm-hmm. And we've seen, especially in the last week, a lot of prominent conservatives in the province come out and endorse Rachel Notley and the NDP. There's been a lot of talk around Take Back Alberta, this sort of fringe of the fringe rural group that is kind of maybe divorced from the traditional values of conservatives, of Lougheed conservatives. What can you say about that and how that's maybe messing with the voting algorithm of the population?
Yeah, I think, much as I've talked about this in the article as two parties with very different sets of values around public policy issues, there are some other dimensions that have really become important in this campaign. And I think a couple of the things that we're seeing that are potentially shifting traditional conservative voters away from the UCP are, first of all, a commitment to a set of ideas that are maybe coming from the United States. Some of the things that we've heard from UCP candidates, focused around trans issues, for example, that really they're not consistent with the notion of this being a party of freedom, right? Of limited government. And I think those are identified by some conservative supporters as being troubling. But the other piece that I think is, has really become an issue is a commitment to this idea of rule of law. And, we assume in party politics in Canada that there's a fundamental commitment to rule of law. And so it's not something that we think about identifying the two parties relative to each other on, but because of, Danielle Smith's actions that the ethics commissioner reported on last week, saying that she had violated the Conflict of Interest Act, when she was speaking to her Solicitor General, trying to ensure that Arthur Pawlowski's charges would be dropped, that's a violation of rule of law. And so the question then becomes, is this a government that's going to follow those fundamental norms about how we expect government to behave? And I think for some conservatives, this has become a question and troubling. So in some ways, the election is not just about policy, but it's also about commitment to this idea of rule of law for some. Hmm.
And what is the deal with sort of the entrenched party voting lines that we have here? It seems like in other provinces, people throw their vote, from election to election based on who's leader or whose policies they prefer and see as, you know, better for in their eyes. Whereas there really seems to be, this is really bringing out, you know, in comparing these two parties and the elections campaigns that they're running, where you have an NDP that's running, you know, what you might consider a flawless campaign. You know, they're not making any mistakes. They're, you know, presenting a very, you know, viable option. And you have, on the other hand, a UCP party that's, you know, doing a lot of maybe dumb things. And yet it's still this close, and it really shouldn't be. And so, what is it about Alberta that gives you such an entrenched base that will vote even if it's, you know, in spite of their own well-being?
That's a really good question. And I think, you know, what you're referring to that you see in Canadian politics in most provinces is the idea of flexible partisanship, right? That people will vote for one party or another party based on the policies, the leaders, you know, sometimes just a sense that it's time for a change. And in Alberta, until 2015, we really didn't have the notion that it was possible for the government to change, or only in dramatic sorts of ways. So we had the Progressive Conservatives govern for the better part of 40 years. And so we had a political system where there was sort of a consensus that the majority of people would go out and they would vote for the Progressive Conservatives. They had an expectation of a certain kind of government because of that. You know, they were well looked after. Alberta is a very affluent province. So there was kind of a deal there. And when there was discontent, it was dealt with inside the party, right? That the party would adjust course to try and meet the population where it was. So it was a very peculiar kind of party system. I think we're in the transition now in Alberta from that so-called single party dominant system to a two-party system where some people are, you know, deeply committed to one party, some people are deeply committed to another party, and then there's a group in the center that shift back and forth. But it's a difficult transition in a lot of ways, and we can certainly see in what's going on right now that there's still a deep commitment, especially among older Albertans, to a conservative party.
And I'm glad you pointed that part out, because I was going to ask, if you look at any of the polling, you know, I mean, there's an obvious rural urban divide, but there's also a very striking divide between under 45 and over 45. Can you speak to, I guess that comes into play with voter turnout, but how much is that under 45 maybe demographic have the potential to swing this election?
Yeah. You and I are reading the same polls. I think that voters under 45 are critically important in this election. We know that they're more likely to vote NDP. Older voters are more likely to vote Conservative. And one of the challenges for the NDP in this election is that younger voters, especially those in that 18 to 25-year-old age group, are much less likely to turn out to vote. You know, some of them don't follow politics all that closely, but in some cases too, just the way that younger people's lives are organized, you know, they move more often, they might be living somewhere else to go to school, those sorts of things. It makes them less attached. They're less likely to be on the voters list. They might never have gone out to vote before. They might not know how. So all of those things make turnout lower among that group. But if they show up to vote, it absolutely could swing the outcome of this election, especially here in Calgary.
Hmm. And I guess going out here, you obviously follow politics quite closely in your work. What what sort of message do you wish to impart on people about sort of the importance of voting in general, but also of in particular this election, and why they should be voting and paying attention?
Yeah. So I think, you know, much as the two parties have come close to one another in some of their campaign promises, they really do represent quite different visions of what Alberta is and what Alberta could be and should be. And so I think it's really important for people to go out and educate themselves, think about which of those two directions is closer to their preference, and to have their say. And I think there's a sense for lots of people that, oh, there's no point in voting. It doesn't matter. It won't make a difference. But this is an election, especially here in Calgary, where there's going to be a lot of very tight races. Voting really does matter. And we all get to live with the consequences of the election for 4 years. So,
good Lord,
at least go out and have your say.
Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning and chatting about the big choice on Monday.
Thanks so much.
Once again, I've been speaking with Lisa Young, professor of political science at the U of C. You can check out her feature piece in this month's or June issue of Alberta Views magazine, The Big Choice, Individualism or the Common Good.